There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, hey, welcome in. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. Yes, we are back. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Vacation was fun, but it's time to get down to some brass tacks here with March Madness coming up beginning, well, the calendar flips on Wednesday. And our thanks over the past 2 weeks to the likes of Tim Murray, Sean King, and Sorby Bonatoni, Tony, for filling in. The last time that we were on the air here, it was the day after the Super Bowl, so it has been a full 2 weeks. And you know, Pauly, a lot of time after the football season's over with, people will say, well, that's it for me. I'll check back in around August. And I have to remind people every single time, like, no, that's not the way it works, especially like, you know, sports bettors, you know this, but for those of you who might be new into this scene, like this is an incredible time to be betting on sports. Yes, you go right from the NFL, and because of the new calendar season, like that, the Super Bowl is here, and then it's bam, it's March 1st. And March flies by so fast, I don't even really think it exists. Like March 1st is the same thing as April 1st, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it goes from March Madness right into the Masters. You have the NBA and NHL playoffs beginning. You have Major League Baseball's opening day. You have the NFL draft starting. This is an incredible 2 months out of the year to be a sports fan, but also to bet on this stuff.
Yep, yep. And one of the conference tournaments starts tonight.
Yep.
The first bid goes out Saturday. There's three more bids on Sunday. So I like to see the little conferences and teams' biggest moment there, probably their sports careers, what transpires this week. So they have the stage now. You're right. Free agency, NFL coming up, the draft business, who's going to get tagged, all of that. Free agency moving around. What happens with Rodgers, Carr, and these other quarterbacks. So, yeah, an underrated 2 months. You are correct.
Yeah, and then the weekend that we're coming in from with the NBA, if you missed it from last night, and I'm sure many of you did because it was a late-night game on the West Coast, Damian Lillard went for 71 points for the Blazers. He made 13 threes, and he had 41 points at halftime. And when you look at the Western Conference standings, this is, I cannot recall this ever in my lifetime happening. I'm sure it has at some point, but like top of my head, we have 10 teams in the West between the seed line of 4 and 13, 10 teams that are within four games. That's how close this is right now.
Yeah.
And then you tie in what he did last night, and of course they're in that mix with what the Lakers did yesterday, coming back from 27 down their largest comeback since 2002, the biggest comeback in the NBA this season, and teams were 0 for 138 this year when trailing by 27 points. And I know that LeBron went down late in that game with an injury, and you could hear him saying, like on the video afterwards, I heard it pop. But if LeBron and Anthony Davis can stay healthy, you absolutely must consider this team as a series contender in the West if they get in the playoffs. So that, I guess that's kind of three big ifs. But right, if they get in and stay healthy,
Or get the sixth seed.
That's possible.
I love that Ham and the organization talked about the goal here is the sixth seed, if they can do that. But you're right. And I watched the post-game show on Spectrum, Hello Southern California, and Ham calls him Wilt Davis when he plays like that. But the acquisition of Vanderbilt, and how is this guy available? 17 rebounds? As Kit said after the game, he kicked our ass. Yeah. Yes, he did. But to come back, one of the best games of the season so far, and for them to come back, how about that? The biggest comeback since what you said, 0-2? Also against the Mavs, when they were down 30. And they did that against the Mavs, too. So they are dangerous, no doubt about it. And with their schedule and the home cooking coming up, but the trades that Pelinka made, and I know you probably, it's very important. Can you get the six? It's going to be tough. Difficult, but not impossible. But then again, if you're in the play and you have to get out of there, and then you're looking at maybe a, you play a Memphis or a Denver in the first round, but still. With the second greatest player of all time, Anthony Davis. I mean, these guys are going to be a problem in a seven-game series.
And that's what I'm saying. If Davis stays healthy, because when he is and he plays like that, this team can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. And the Western Conference is so wide open that he is such an, I don't know, call him an X factor, whatever you want. He's going to get, like, and I had people reaching out on Twitter last night saying, Mitch, if Davis is healthy, this guy will give the Joker fits in the playoffs if it is the eight and the one spot there in the Lakers against Denver. And now you have to point this out, right? Because the next month of basketball for the Lakers, yes, they're at Memphis tomorrow. They get OKC this week on the road. Then 10 of the next 12 games are at home. And look at that schedule. T-Wolves.
Yep.
Warriors. Okay, Grizzlies very good. But Raptors, Knicks, at Pelicans, at Rockets. Mavericks again back at home. And then a bunch of other games at home too. Like, they can really make some hay right now the way that this sets up for them.
This is all for naught if anything happens to LeBron, although he was limping afterwards, but he stayed in the game and appears to be okay, but they'll monitor that, and that's a tough assignment tomorrow on the road. But you're right. With the home cooking coming up, they can do some damage here. The other thing is the takeaway is Dallas.
Dallas.
Right? Now, they've lost 4 out of 5, and the win was against the Cupcake against the Spurs. They can't defend. They have no depth, and people were all over Jason Kidd.
Yes, they were.
About him not being a good coach. Now, how about this comment, though? This is from Tim McMahon. ESPN. I'm not the savior here. I'm not playing. I'm watching just like you guys. He's talking to the media. As a team, we got to mature. We got to grow up. You can't blow a lead like that.
How do you make that comment as a head coach?
That is absurd. You're in charge of X's and O's. You're in charge of rotations. Who plays? People were upset that Green didn't get more minutes and Powell. I mean, I'm just like you guys. I'm watching. What are you talking about?
That is like when college basketball coaches have gotten ripped on this network over the years. It's the basically it's because of we say that coaches just roll a ball out there and then do whatever you want, right? They make no adjustments whatsoever. That to me is the definition of we're going to roll the ball out there and then see what happens. And I'm not the savior. I don't really have any impact on the game. That's a horrible soundbite to make if you're the head coach of that team.
Oh, yeah.
And people were like, this guy's not going to be the coach next year. He's going to be gone. The Mavericks. So I've gone back and forth so many times on this team since they did this Kyrie Irving trade. But the Mavericks in the playoffs, they have to play at their absolute A game to do damage this year. Like, they have to have five guys hitting shots because they don't have depth and they don't have a lot of, you know, the overall talent is just, it's okay. But beyond Luka and Irving, it's not like A-list type players we're talking about here. So if they show up with their premium, you know, outside shot in every game, yes, of course, but that's going to be impossible to ask.
Yep.
Because the defense is not going to be their game in and game out. And I said to you before the show, if we happen to get a 3-6 matchup with the Kings and the Mavericks, oh, man, I could not wait to see what the betting price would be on that. Because the Kings could absolutely, that would be one example. Yeah. The Kings could absolutely beat the Mavericks in a series.
Yeah, and then what if this is just a rental with Kyrie, too? Which he goes to the Lakers or just leaves in the summer. Then you're still in the same situation where you're stuck and you let Brunson leave for nothing.
Sure.
And you can't get any help for Luka, right? And it's wasted. So it's been bad defensively, I'll tell you that. But you cannot blow a 27-point lead at home against the Lakers.
I didn't even know the Lakers were in play.
Oh, God.
I wasn't even looking.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was at 43-18, and I'm like, oh, my God. Thanks for showing up, Lakers.
Yeah, and they talked about it after the game. It's very important that they cut it down to, 14, whatever it was at halftime.
Yeah.
And they cut that down to, it wasn't crazy going into the locker room, too. So, but you're right. March has started already. The great finishes in college basketball over the weekend, and then the NBA since that we came back from the break. The two Clipper games, what's going on with Milwaukee, the 76ers Celtic game.
Oh, my God.
How good was that?
How about that finish?
Yes, Embiid with the heave, too late.
About that. That's Saturday alone. That's the night game. This is after Arizona State beat Arizona with a half-court shot at the buzzer.
Yeah.
After Miami blew a 25-point lead in college basketball and Florida State beat them with like a 30-footer at the buzzer. And then Embiid hits an 80-footer, and I thought it was good. And he just released it a tick after the scoreboard turned red.
Friday night, we had the second highest scoring game in NBA history, too. And imagine you score 174 points, whatever it was, and you can't win the game. I mean, that's 80-76 at halftime. I mean, that thing had everything. That game was nuts.
I got it here somewhere. Yeah. Here you go. Teams were 47-0 over the past 40 years in this league to shoot 60% on twos, 55% on threes, and 85% on free throws, and they still lost the game. First team in 40-plus years to accomplish that. And then they go out and they lose in overtime last night, and Joker had a 40-point triple-double.
Yeah. 23-0, the Nuggets, when Joker has a triple-double.
Oh, we'll get into that strong
23-0,
pull.
Yeah, how about that? That's another one. And he was phenomenal again, too. So, yeah, even Barkley's coming around, too. So, thanks, Charles. I mean, the
Lakers?
The Laker bashing for so long. Then they won at Milwaukee. They should have won at Boston with the controversy. They win at Dallas. This is before the trades, right? I mean, you don't want to see this team in the playoffs.
No, I don't.
You don't want to
really
see
don't.
This team. I mean, I don't know what Barkley's been watching all year.
No, even if on the Nuggets. I said this like a month ago. I said I would not like the Lakers' chances because the Nuggets at home are so good.
Yeah.
But again, if AD will at least, I don't know if neutralize is the right word, he'll put up awesome numbers and be a factor against Joker. I'm convinced of that.
Well, still, and then they get Beasley and Russell and guys that can shoot now.
Like you said, Vanderbilt, too.
Yeah, guy was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Arnold Palmer Invitational, UFC 285 this week as well. John Jones is back. Head over to Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. They have you covered every line, odds and boost. And for golf fans, it's a place to bet with top 10 insurance. Place your pre-tournament bet on any outright winner. And the fun doesn't stop there. UFC 285, parlay insurance, and more. Check out BetRivers.com or download the app. It's a whole new game at BetRivers.
Yeah, a lot to get to, obviously, not only in this hour of the program, but in the 3 hours overall today. We do have Dalen Cuff joining the program in about an hour and 20 minutes, ESPN College Basketball. He likes to fire. We'll ask him about future tickets on the big dance. Also, Baylor is laying a small number tonight on the road against Oklahoma State. Get his thoughts on that. And then Russell Brown on the NFL draft. There was some serious movement on the number one overall pick when we were gone. I'm not really buying. I'm not surprised we had movement because this Anthony Richardson kid is going to be a complete freak, and this week is the combine. But I'm going to be stunned if he actually would go number one overall. So we'll get into that. We'll talk college basketball coming up as well. Going to be back from vacation here on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Huge weekend, golf, UFC 285. John Jones is back. First bids are punched and go out in college hoops. Golf fans, Bet Rivers the place to bet the Arnold Palmer with top 10 insurance. Place your pre-tournament bet on any outright winner and UFC 285 parlay insurance and more. Great house specials, great menu. Check out BetRivers.com or download the app. It's a whole new game.
So this happened last week when we were out on vacation. There was some heavy steam for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft on a player who was around 100-1 not that long ago. And that is Anthony Richardson, the quarterback from Florida. And this tweet popped from Ben Fowkes at VSiN. He opened at that number, triple digits, at BetMGM. He's down to 7-1. Well, Paulie, as I live and breathe right now, he is 5-1 at DraftKings. It goes Bryce Young minus 165, C.J. Stroud plus 450, Richardson 5-1. He's now ahead of Will Levis, who is plus 650. And then it gets into Jalen Carter and Will Anderson territory.
What happened here? Who's betting this? And who continues to bet it when it was down to like 10-1, 8-1? It won't stop. Now, yesterday, one GM told Peter King he has the highest upside. We have a guest coming on later who says, oh, trust the tape. Well, this is bizarre.
Yeah, again, remove what you think about the players, right? You have to go on information here. And I don't think Richardson is ready to play at all in the NFL, but that doesn't matter. So here's what can happen in a situation like this. There was one person who evidently doesn't have the best track record when it comes to mock drafts. Mm-hmm. He mocked Richardson number one last week, number one overall. And then you have to remember, like, early on, this is a very delicate market. So a bet or two could significantly move numbers. And so when he was 100-1, it might take one or two people or one or two groups to make a bet on Richardson and then for that number to fly all the way down. For example, like Dustin, who used to produce this show, he has Richardson at 55-1 and he got 95-1. I think it was on February 16th. What is that? 11 days ago?
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
So he was 95-1. He has him there. Now, his whole idea was exactly what you said, upside. And once we get to Combine Week, which is right now, and people see this kid who's tall, yeah, he's strong, he's fast, he has like if Bryce Young had his build, Bryce Young would be minus 1,000, minus 2,000 to go number one overall, but he doesn't. And that's going to be the rub, and I can't wait to see what Bryce Young weighs in at with the tail of the tape this week. But this kid is going to, I mean, the Cam Newton comparisons won't stop.
Oh, so we throw out the tape, though?
I mean, I don't think you can.
In Florida? It's like the same thing with Levis. Wow, the old line sucked. Well, he didn't have this. Well, he didn't have that. I mean, I throw him out because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee. I dismiss him. So that's a crazy.
But you love mayonnaise.
Yeah, not in coffee. Yeah, but you can't.
But
put
you don't
it
drink
coffee.
Come on.
Can't put mayonnaise. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The kid puts mayo in coffee. But he had a terrible season. Major disappointment. What happened on the field, an actual game.
Remember the Utah game? The kid looked phenomenal.
Yes, he did. Right.
And then after that, I'm like, what happened to him?
Right, sure. Absolutely. I know. So, but you're right. Workout Warriors, Underwear Olympics, anything you want to say. I give these guys full marks, too, if they're going to come out and let it rip at the combine. Some will, some won't.
Yep.
And then you go off on your pro day, which we always look at Zach Wilson. Oh, what a throw. What a who cares?
Yep.
What a pro day. So that was, but this is a wild time of year. But none of this makes sense. Who's the best player in the draft? It's Carter, probably. But it comes down to need and who's picking where. And even little some whispers about what the Bears could do. And would they shop Fields? Yeah, that this is Lions season 2.
It is.
So this is fascinating. But it's one thing to go from like 101 to 30 or 20, but now it's as low as 5-1 now at draft.
And again, you watch what happens this week at the combine. When if he goes out there and performs at all, it's going to be lights out again. And the same thing is going to happen with Levis. I know Levis has a pro day coming up. When Levis has his pro day, it's going to be Zach Wilson 2.0. I mean, it's going to be, oh my God, he can throw it 70 yards in the air, across from his body. He can make every possible throw. He is Josh Allen. That's what people will say. And people will make that. You can't pass on a kid like Will Levis. And then people are suggesting that Bryce Young might check in at like 6 feet tall. He's like 5'9". He's 5'9", and he's going to have to go. This is going to have to be a UFC fighter. Because he's going to have to load up on as many liquids as possible right before he weighs in. He's got to push the scales to as close to 200 as possible. Because there's a chance that people are speculating he's 175 walking around his street clothes.
Oh, my God.
You're not taking a quarterback that's smaller than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, right.
Number one overall in the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Although his arm is unbelievable. Can I get you on board with this? Do you believe there's at least a small chance the Bears keep the number one pick?
I can't see that. That doesn't make any sense.
But what if the offer is not there, and what if teams are convinced that the player that they want will be there at that spot where they're originally? Like for example, and I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical here. What if the quarterback the Colts really want is Levis? Well, when they break down the board, they can probably talk themselves into the Bears at number one. They're not going to take Levis. Number two, Houston, they probably like Bryce Young. Number three is Arizona. They're not going to go quarterback. They could probably talk themselves into plenty of scenarios where Levis is there at number four.
Well, you got Carolina rumors, though, too. And I mean, someone would be bound to move up and take somebody.
Yeah, but when you get, here's my opinion anyway. When you're dropping below four and then you get to Carolina at that, what are they, 9? Raiders are 7. That's an awfully big package they're going to have to offer the Bears to move all the way up to number one. And maybe the offer's not there. If they keep the pick, depending on free agency and some defensive tackles that may or may not be on the move to Chicago, if they don't get a defensive tackle, I think Carter's going to be the play if they would keep the pick.
Okay, yeah. I'd be shocked if they keep the pick. I would be, yes. And the other thing is with the moves with the quarterback carousel now. Now that Mr. Rodgers has emerged from the darkness, right? With the Bilbo Baggins here. I mean, this is... Oh, boy, was that overblown. I mean, the guy had electricity. What is he talking about? Like some darkness, they just shovel some food in here and put it in there for me. I mean, the guy lives better than most people where he was in Oregon in the darkness. But for the Jets to tell Carr you'll be a Hall of Famer if you win here, give me a break. The guy doesn't have a playoff win.
Right.
I mean, are they really going to give him $35 million? And then Danny Dimes wants $45 million?
Is there a chance Danny Dimes gets $45 million?
Sure, there's a chance.
Oh,
but this is wild about what's going to happen. The guy has... who do you really? Okay, you made the playoffs, but you played nobody. You had a soft schedule. You're going to give him $45 million? And then the Jets are going to sign Carr and give him all this money?
You know,
oh my God.
Even if you're Derek Carr and like his camp, don't you have to recognize, okay, there's blowing smoke up somebody's you know what. And then there's this. You have to recognize, hey, it sounds great and all, but come on. That's a little too over the top.
It's not going to go well. I can tell you right now. I mean, the first time, they're going to lose their minds the first time he throws the ball out of bounds on fourth down.
I don't think he's a good fit in New York.
No, I agree.
I think he's a better fit in some spot like New Orleans.
Right. But the other thing to watch is it appears Baltimore and Jackson aren't even close on this. But this is what happens when you have a guy who doesn't have an agent And the whole Deshaun Watson contract screws everything up. And it's just, you know, the leaks coming out and the reports about what's been offered and what's, but the beer not even close. Mm-hmm. And then what happens March 7th? And what's the tag like? What's it going to be? And then just, can someone swoop in and say, well, I'll take them. Here's two number ones. And do they play ball? And does someone give him an enormous contract considering his injury history as well? This is fascinating how that could play out in Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely. The next, 3 weeks, month or so with this, the whole, every scenario you just ran down. So if the Jets were, if they told Carr you can be a Hall of Famer, what's their pitch to Rodgers?
Yeah, right.
They could actually tell him you'll go down as one of the biggest legends in New York City's history if you come here and win a Super Bowl. And that would be true. If Rodgers were to go there and win a Super Bowl, shut it down then.
Yeah. What is it, 12 years? You haven't made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And for that team to win again, I mean, from that area of the country, we get feedback all the time when we talk Jets. Guys, I've lived it my whole life. Knock it off. I mean, imagine what that would do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It turns everything around.
Yeah, but they know they're close. I mean, again, they were right there with Mike White. Wilson was just horrendous when he was in there.
Yeah.
They were 7-4. They lost to Minnesota. One on the final play.
I can't wait for this week. The Combine week is so cool. I don't watch the Combine a lot, but the overreactions that we get. And then this is when you really, because now books will be offering more stuff on the draft. DraftKings right now, they have first overall pick, first quarterback, first wide receiver, first defensive player selected, and which team will draft Bijan Robinson on the board, which his team is, the talking points about Bijan, people are calling him the best running back to come out in, forget Saquon, forget Zeke, he's better than all of them in recent years. So the Eagles are the shortest shot in the board, by the way, at plus 275 to take him. He's awesome.
Well, it only takes one team to fall in love with somebody, too.
That's right.
That's all it takes.
That's right.
That's the other angle as well.
Up next, we'll recap the betting action from the weekend. Coming up next, win some, lose some. A 5.5-point dog had a 99.7% win probability, and they couldn't cover the game.
Always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
VSiN has a new podcast to help you bet on college hoops. It's called the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. Each week, Tim Murray, Matt Humans, and Adam Burke give you 3 episodes breaking down games, finding value, and examining the future markets to help you as a bettor. Check out VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll begin this hour talking college basketball. And Pauly, when you look at the updated net rankings for college hoops, Houston is number one. And I think the narrative will go once Selection Sunday is 2 weeks from yesterday. This new schedule in the NFL throws everything for a loop, and I kind of like it with the Super Bowl being pushed back.
Yeah.
But Houston's number one in the net, and what you're going to hear people say is something you've heard every year for Houston going back many, many years, and that is, will the conference schedule catch up with them? Because when you look overall at their numbers, they are 15-2 at home. They're 10-0 on the road. They only have 4 quad one wins, though, and that's because of where they play. So is that going to be a factor for this team? I think this is probably the best Houston team that we've seen with Kelvin Sampson yet. I think this team can absolutely win the entire thing.
Sure.
Bama is number 2 in the net. They have 9 quad one wins, and Tennessee is number 3 in net rankings overall. A team that you said an hour ago you want to draw a line through and not consider them to win the whole thing. I'm right there with you. And Kansas is number 6 overall in the net. The defending champs, yes, they lost a lot, but they're 24-5 overall. Something's amiss here. Number 6 in net. They are number 7 this morning at KenPom. And another person who has great numbers overall, and you can look at him, he shares everything publicly, Bart Torvik. He's got Kansas number 11. But you look at their overall numbers again, they have 15 quad one wins. That's because the Big 12 is so good and their non-conference is always going to be heavy duty. Only 2 other teams in the country Baylor and Texas have 10 quad one wins. That's because they play in the Big 12.
Yeah, that conference tournament will be crazy. I'm looking forward to the Big 12 and the Big East. But the other thing, we're getting carried all the top to bottom. West Virginia's in the tournament. They're 5-11 in conference. Come on, guys. Lenardi has them in. Jerry Palm's got them either last four in or four out. I mean, come on. What do you want to see in a couple weeks? A Charleston that's 30-4 or a team that went 5-11 in conference and gets an at? Oh, come on.
I know.
If it comes down to those teams for an at-large, what do you want to see? Don't reward that.
No, I don't want to see 5-11. You have to be better than that. I'm sorry, you just do.
It's like the North. It'll be like North Carolina, Charleston, or North Carolina, Oral Roberts discussion. Well, what would they do with their schedule? If you give Oral Roberts 11 cracks to get a quad one win, they'll have a couple.
They'll probably have at least
one.
They'll
go 1-10, right?
Yeah.
So would Carolina be 30-4 or 30-3 if they played Charleston's schedule? Who knows? You can say it because you can't prove it. But this is, give me the team, especially in this year with this. Again, every year it seems the bubble gets worse. But if you could, I don't care what league you're playing in. If you win 28, 29 games, you got
to
be in.
You have to be a strong consideration there. Are we going to hear about this? We probably already are. I just maybe missed it yesterday. But is that a season-saving win for North Carolina? Will people look back at the win against Virginia yesterday in 2 weeks and say, well, they beat Virginia. That's a very good win. They're number 6 overall in the country, or they were at the time anyway. That's where they were with the overall ranking. That's going to be good enough for Carolina. Carolina stinks. Not a good basketball team.
Yep. I think it'd be historic, right? It'd be the only time you're preseason one and missed the tournament.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened. I could be wrong on that, but that's what they're looking at. As well with all the preseason hype. At least Kentucky's got their act together. It could be a 6 or 7, as you mentioned.
How about St. Mary's overall numbers? Yep. In the net, they are number 7. Torvik has them number 6 overall, and KenPom has them number 8. And they never went away on Saturday night against Gonzaga. Gonzaga opened up, an 18-point lead in the first half, I want to say it was. And then St. Mary's came back. They kept fighting. That is a very good team. And that is not an easy place to play for anybody. And St. Mary's now, the seed line, I can't wait to see what's going to happen to them in 2 weeks. Because do they actually land in that area of a 2 or 3 seed? Or is it going to be more like a 5?
Yeah, I'm the latter.
That's, I think, where it's, if I could, you can probably bet on this stuff too eventually at some point. That's where I would look.
Yep. How about some mid-majors that could make some noise?
Who do you have your eyes on?
Definitely Oral Roberts. Boy, are they tested. They went through the summit undefeated. And you know what they did a couple of years ago, making that tournament run? They only have 4 losses. But look at the losses. In Logan, Utah, always been a tough place to play at Utah State. Went to St. Mary's and lost. Oh, tough place to play. Lost there. Lost to Houston. I mean, that's it. That's all. It's all on their resume. So that'd be another team that could come in and win 30 games. And I would not want to see them, and they could make a run and make win a couple games as well. Now, as far as but then again, who had St. Peter's doing what they were doing? What they accomplished?
No, of course.
Well, so there could be always somebody where you look at maybe in North Carolina last year, but
it was Oral Roberts 2 years ago,
right? Or if you get in that 7, 8, 9 or higher range and make an Elite Eight Final Four run.
Okay. Do you want to consider any team? I think I know your answer here, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you want to consider any team from the Mountain West Conference?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Draw a line through the whole conference.
San Diego State is number 16 at KenPom.
Did it again last year. Embarrassed themselves again.
How many teams are they going to get in?
Don't even win a game. I'll just use Lenardi, but Lenardi has 3.
Okay.
He does have Nevada safely in as a 9 seed. Nevada plays tonight, and he's got Boise in, and he has San Diego State in. He has Utah State first 4 out.
Okay.
But it's every year. With the one exception was the year they had Kawhi Leonard and Jimmer, and they both made the Sweet 16. Well, but since then, it's a horror show. Forget about winning games, which they don't do. They're an ATS disaster.
Oh, that's all. But, Paul, don't forget, we need as many teams in from the Mountain West Conference, because every year books will put up props on how many wins a conference will have.
Yep, couldn't win a game.
And it's been an autoplay to play Mountain West Conference under.
Not only that, to get multiple teams in year after year and with good seats.
Oh, sure.
And can't get it done. And you contrast that to like a Conference USA, who they always win games. And they're like 13, 12, 11
seeds. Yes, they are. Always deep.
And these guys are in like the 6, sure. 7, 8, right? And they can't win a damn game.
I want somehow, some way for like four. Like, if, could New Mexico beat Utah State in the Mountain West Conference final game? And then we get five teams in from the Mountain West. Like, that's the ultimate pipe dream, you know, yeah. that I would wish for.
You can get four. That four is your max.
Yeah, if you get four in, what do you make for the prop then? Because if there's ever a 2.5 wins on the Mountain West Conference, it's like it's a suitcase bet to go under 2.5 wins. Typically, they put up 1.5 wins in the tournament, and it's still been great over the years.
Yeah.
So I can't get there either. I will have to wait to see the draws, obviously, but typically, you know, that's going to be one of the better bets that you can find the entire time. Are you there with UCLA as we go back to some of the Blue Bloods here?
Yeah.
I think they're very good, too.
Yeah.
I can see them making an absolute deep run. I'm not going back and forth too many times on UConn. I watch some of these other teams play, and UConn was very good to begin the season. And I watch a Houston play to their, you know, total peak. And then I watch Alabama play to where they can get. And I watch some of these other teams. And then what's the peak for a team like that? Ah, man, I don't think they're within range. When you have to win 6 games overall in the tournament, I just don't think they can do it. I think they can win a couple potentially. But I think when you start to play then back-to-back teams that are really, really good, that'll be too difficult for UConn to overcome.
Yeah. Going back to your previous, maybe the argument could be the Pac-12 was down. But still, I'm impressed with what UCLA did. But the Pac-12 is only going to get 3 teams in. How about the ACC? Probably only going to get 5 in.
Yeah, it's weak.
Yes, it is.
It's very weak.
Yes.
And I don't know how many good teams do we have in the Big Ten. And they're going to get a boatload of teams. Yeah. But how many, like, truly good teams can you see from that conference? And we saw Indiana really put together another good game against Purdue over the weekend. And I know a lot of people think that Indiana can maybe make a deep run. Maybe they can. Maybe. But I don't know how many other teams you can really trust there. You mentioned in Win Some, Lose Some, Penn State. And that was it's a huge day yesterday because Wisconsin blew that lead against Michigan.
Yeah.
And then Penn State on the precipice as well. They blow that big lead. So that conference is not that good, and they're going to get a lot of teams in.
Yeah, I would agree.
SEC is very good overall. A&M, per Torvik, when you look at his numbers, A&M has been the second best team in the country since January 1st. And they were available recently at 150-1 to win the whole thing. Now, they lost over the weekend, but that was basically a pick'em game. They might have been a small favorite on the road, and they lost that game. But they were playing great basketball up until then. I don't know, again, if that's a team that you can really... Can they get a Final Four run, maybe, but can you see them cutting down the nets to win the entire thing? Not so sure. Baylor plays tonight. We'll talk to Dalen Cuff from ESPN coming up in about 20 minutes. Very small road favorite at Oklahoma State. That's tricky. Because unranked teams have been very good against ranked teams overall, especially this weekend. I mean, it was awesome.
I do like Nevada tonight.
Yeah.
Wyoming's had a bad year, and Nevada playing lock up an at-large bid. They're playing good ball, and I think I'm surprised it's only 5. I think Nevada will win.
I did buy a ticket on K-State a while back at 100-1.
Oh, very good.
Now they're down to 35-1. Good resume overall. But again, what's their ceiling? Elite 8, maybe Final 4. Maybe if they get the right draw and it breaks, you know, correctly for them.
Ah, you never know. Yeah, you could be a bracket buster, and someone could come out of nowhere again with another St. Peter story, or you know.
That I would anticipate that happening. Yeah. DU Concur is up next. We do an annual rant based on a massive March mistake. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. It is Combine Week, and books are starting to post a few more props for the NFL draft. And I love this time of season because it is lying season, Paulie, like you talked about earlier. But we've had some movement recently with the number one overall pick in the draft. And Russell Brown joins the program now, national scout at Cover One, NFL draft analyst. And you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Russ NFL Draft. Good to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys having me on, and welcome back. It seems like your listeners are super pumped to have you back from vacation. So welcome back. I'm glad I could join you today.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Let's get into that movement on Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson last week. He was as high as 100-1, Russ, and then dropped all the way down. This morning, he's 5-1. And you know that when he does more combine, pro day, whatever it's going to be, he's going to blow people away with his athleticism. Will his odds only continue to lower? And do you think there's any real possibility he could go number one?
No, I think there's a legitimate chance. I mean, I think there's a lot of hype around him for good reason. When you watch his tape and you see what he can provide, you know, there's definitely some hits and misses, right? There's a lot more misses than there are hits with his throws. And a lot of the misses are, you know, I think maybe timing issues or him not trusting himself. There's times when he's throwing the football and he throws over the middle of the field and he gets super down on himself, even though he completes the pass. It's because it's behind the receiver and he gets kind of up in arms about it. But when you see the athletic ability, the way he navigates the pocket, there's just so much to like. And he's a guy that on tape, when you watch the Georgia game, right, there's a lot of bad throws there. There's some really bad misses. He gets dinged up in that game early, but he shows his toughness. And then he's just shaking off Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter potentially the number one player in the draft, and he's shaking him off and he's going and extending the play. And sure, he throws it out of bounds, but he doesn't take the sack. There's no negative yardage there. So it's just so funny watching him play because he's different than a lot of the quarterbacks in this draft and different in good ways. And I think that's why his odds have gone up tremendously, because there's so much that you can do with him from start to finish in his career. And he's obviously going to be one of those guys. I don't think you start from day one. And I think at times when you watch him, he uses more of his arm strength and things like that. So I think he's closer to, you know, a Deshaun Kizer as far as using arm strength and those types of things. But the potential to be Josh Allen or Cam Newton, it's certainly there. And I think that's why the odds are the way that they are, because teams, you know, this is their livelihood. They're going to bet on it, and they're going to bet on themselves and their coaching staff to kind of groom this guy to be the next big thing.
Okay. It wasn't that long ago that there was big steam on Levis. So you are a trust the tape guy. What do you think of Levis then?
Yeah, I mean, I like Levis because of the tools. I mean, he's one of those guys that when he's got everything from top to bottom, when he's got it all going with the flow and everything's right, there's times that his throwing motion, his platform, the way he throws, it looks to me, and I'm a guy that watched a lot of Detroit Lions in my lifetime, 31 years of being a fan, It looks like Matthew Stafford. That's the type of stuff that I see with him from time to time. But ultimately, you know, it's the forcing throws. It's his eyes. It's him not trusting himself from time to time. But he's tough as nails. He's got the mobility. Kind of fits that modern-day quarterback that we're seeing. And maybe he's more Ryan Tannehill than anything else at the next level. But I think that's a fine starter. And I think he's certainly going to be a first-round pick. It's just, is it in the top 10? More than likely. There's just too many teams, I think, that need quarterbacks. And if a team like Carolina stays at 9, I think, you know, whatever the odds are at him betting, you know, or going top 10, I think you got to go with Will Levis in that, because I think he's, you know, the third or fourth best quarterback in this draft, but I would still draft him just simply because of the tools and the refinement that he needs. You can get a really good starter, I think, at the next level with Will Levis.
Russell Brown, our guest, national scout, NFL draft analyst at Cover One. He's on Twitter at RussNFLDraft. Ultimately, then, which quarterback do you think goes off the board number one as the first quarterback taken? And what do you expect Bryce Young's measurables to look like this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see 6 foot, and I think we're going to probably see around 200, 202. Again, I could be wrong there. He might only check in at 196, 197. But I do believe he will be the first quarterback off the board. I think there's so much to work with him. I mean, the way he navigates the pocket, we love it with Anthony Richardson. Well, with Bryce Young, you don't have to worry about waiting a year or two for him to come in and play right away. I think he's somebody that plays from the jump, and he's just such a smart kid. He's got tremendous leadership ability, but the way he throws either off platform or the way that he can just chuck it a mile, simple flick of the wrist. I know the frame is going to get knocked, and he's somebody that we don't see a lot, you know, being successful in the NFL, but I think there's a lot to work with Bryce Young, and I know he's not going to throw at the combine this week, but I know he's somebody that, you know, if he checks in at the right weight and everything like that, I think you have to look at him and say, hey, I can take this guy, and he could potentially start winning championships for me right away. And I think when you look at, you know, potentially the Colts, who might move up to number one, you look at the Texans, who I know have been really linked to him heavily. I think there's far too many teams that could use a player like him, especially with some ready-made rosters like the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, so that he could be in play. The Colts could be, I know Ursay kind of, he brought up his name without saying his name last week, could be in play there. Do you think there's any chance for the Bears just look at any offers, either from Houston, Indy, other teams, and say, you know what, it's not enough, sorry, we're not going to settle for this, and they keep the number one overall pick?
It's certainly possible, right? I mean, anything is possible in this draft and really in any draft, but I personally think they're going to move out of that spot, especially when I think a team like, and we mentioned Jim Irsay, a guy that has swung and missed on veteran quarterback after veteran quarterback. I think you just have to look at it and say, hey, Jim Irsay is going to have to swing and actually hit on one of these quarterbacks that he ends up taking. And I don't think there's a huge risk in taking Bryce Young other than his frame. But I mean, when you look at the offensive line he would have, you got Michael Pittman, you've got Jelani Woods, who looks like a nice addition as a tight end. You've got Jonathan Taylor. You throw Bryce Young in there, that offense starts clicking, and I think they start winning. So I think Irsay is going to be the guy that maybe gives up the most. I mean, we've seen what he's done. You know, he's given up first round picks for Carson Wentz. You mean to tell me if Bryce Young's sitting there potentially at number one, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to want to pull that trigger. And with the Bears, they need as much talent as they can get their hands on. The NFC North's going to be super competitive, it seems like, for a while, regardless if Aaron Rodgers is part of the Packers or not. You need that. You need draft capital. You need to get your players in there. And I just think the Bears are a team that can move down to four and not lose as much as far as talent that's going to be there.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Russell Brown's our guest, national scout at Cover One, NFL draft analyst over there as well. So I want to ask you about Bijan Robinson. I've heard people recently say that he's better than any of the recent running backs to come out that were taken extremely high, like a Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. Do you agree that he's that good overall? I love the kid, and people love the idea of, you know, him being the lead running back, but also like being a guy that you can put out as another wide receiver, and you're not going to miss a beat there. And then DraftKings has, which team will draft him They're offering that right now. The Eagles are the shorter shot at plus 275. Bills 4-1. Cowboys 5-1. And they have pretty much every team listed. So how high are you on this kid? And where do you think would be like the ultimate landing spot for him?
Yeah, I think with him, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. He's the guy that, to me, stands out as a perfect fit for them. You can take him in the top 10. They have the luxury, I think, of drafting a running back that high. Miles Sanders is set to be a free agent. Even though they want him back, are they going to pay the premium for the position when they're in kind of the premium position to draft the running back as early as they want to? So I think that's why they go Bijan Robinson. I would take those odds all day long, just simply because I think at 10, it's a fine pick. I think Bijan's one of the three best running backs, or well, one of the three best players in this draft, certainly the best running back in this draft. And as you mentioned, you know, Saquon Barkley and things like that, I think he's just as good, if not better, than those guys. And when you look at, you know, Pro Football Focus's data base, and I know that's not the above all be all, but he's forced over 100 missed tackles in his career, the most of any running back in their database over the last several years, especially since it started. So I think when you look at his lateral movement skills, the way he's able to break tackles with his contact balance, the flexibility with his lower half, he is just so talented in that regard. And I think he's, again, one of the three best players. And when you look at the impact that players need, especially at that position in the NFL, to be kind of that lead dog, you need a guy every now and again to have, you know, 300 touches. I think Bijan provides that for a team at the next level, especially a team like the Eagles.
So one last thing for you, Russell, here. Also on the board at DraftKings, first wide receiver selected in the draft, Quentin Johnson from TCU was first overall, plus 120. Then Addison from USC at plus 250. There's been some movement on Hyatt. He was 15-1 in that range, down to plus 550. And Flowers as well, who's down to 8-1. Which receiver would you bet on?
Yeah, I mean, for the combine this week coming up, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Jalin Hyatt gets, you know, those odds start shifting a little bit just simply because of how fast he truly is. One of those guys that ran the 100-meter dash in high school under 10.41 seconds. I believe it was a 10.4 flat in the 100-meter dash. So, I mean, he's moving when he's out on the field, and he had a great year. But if I had to bet on it, I mean, I would have to go with Jordan Addison. Now, he's my favorite receiver in the draft. His route running ability is superb. He's so effective in the short and intermediate areas of the field. I think you bring a player like that on, and he can make an impact from day one. And as much as I like Quentin Johnson, I would just have to go another route. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba would be another one as well, just simply because if he checks the boxes and the health is all good, I think he's the player that might end up being the number one receiver for a lot of teams because of what he provides as far as pre-snap motions with orbit motions, jet motions, and just what he can do after the catch. So I would go more so Addison or Jackson Smith, and if I had to throw a long shot in there, it would probably be Jalin Hyatt.
All right. Russell Brown is the NFL Draft Analyst at Cover One. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at RussNFLDraft. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Be good. Win Some, Lose Some is up next. Again, a 5.5-point dog had a 99.7% win probability and could not cover.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Huge weekend. Arnold Palmer Invitational. John Jones is back. UFC 285. And tickets punch this weekend with the madness. Head over to BetRivers Online Sportsbook. They have you covered. Great house specials for the golf fans. You get top 10 insurance. Place your pre-tournament bet on any outright winner. UFC 285 parlay insurance. Check out BetRivers.com or download the app. It's a whole new game at BetRivers.
This tweet from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, 5 minutes ago. Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, another top quarterback, will throw in Indy at the scouting combine, source said. He's going to join C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson as top passers to do so. Bryce Young will wait for his pro day, and that's going to be on TV Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern.
All right.
I can't wait for the reaction when Levis and Richardson throw. Honestly, I'm so excited for this.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, I really am.
Yeah?
It's going to be...
Well, you know what the reaction's going
to
be.
Well, because... I have Levis 30-1.
Yeah.
That's why I'm super excited about it. To go number one overall.
Maybe
I don't know.
Celebrate with your coffee, put some mayo in it.
Sure. If he goes number one overall, I'll celebrate however, whatever. Yeah. I mean, sure. But it's going to be Zach Wilson again from last year.
Probably.
Look at this pass across his body, 60 yards down the field. Nobody, not a defender. Okay. And people just went nuts with that.
Mike Mamula. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The combine warriors, people, these workout warriors, people fall in love with, oh, my God, it's bench press and it's 40 and it's all this stuff. I mean, it's,
So the latest straw poll done at ESPN.com for the NBA MVP, this came out last week, and this is a bunch of people who have votes. It's all media, right? This is a pretty good indication, and it's the second time that it was done. The first time, actually, Jason Tatum was the favorite at the time, or he was leading in the straw poll. Well, he dropped down to number four. The Joker went from number five in the last straw poll to number one, and number one with an absolute bullet.
Blowout!
To the point where you're seeing him at $3. He has to get hurt to lose the award.
Yes, you're seeing, and it moved just a little bit after the Tim Bontemps straw poll, but it's a blowout. It was 77 to 11 first place votes. So only two guys have gone back to back to back, and you look at $283 and you say that's way too short. Number one, they're going to get the one seed. Very important. Number two, he's shooting 63% from the field. I mean, that's not like, you see Claxton and these other guys who are just dunking the ball. I mean, he takes threes. He's that's incredible. He's averaging a triple-double. They're also 23-0, and he has a triple-double this year. So add it all up, and between that and how the guys who cover the sport love the guy, that he's going to do this again. And even though, is there Joker fatigue? But they're looking for reasons not to give it to him. Because you don't want to give it to him 3 years in a row, but it's a blowout.
Yeah, I also think
the straw poll.
At this point, that's a made-up narrative, though, because voters actually get it and they pay attention to a lot of the important metrics, and they realize, like, I don't care that he's won it two times in a row. He's got to be his numbers are his. They're better.
The backlash is just it is bizarre with the people. You know, some people pointed out, hey, did you see Embiid against Memphis? He had six blocks. He went, he was also 5 of 22 from the field in that game.
Right.
Till late in the game, and he made a couple shots. So it's not to take anything away from Embiid, but it's also the historic on-off numbers when Joker is on the floor or off the floor. How bad Denver is and how good they are when he's on the floor. But again, he's shooting 63%, and he's 24, 10, and 11 he's averaging.
The only reason why voters would give this award to Joel Embiid would be because they're sick of Jokic winning it 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
You cannot justify Embiid winning this award. And he's the second guy on the odds board, by the way. Giannis on the straw poll, he was number two. Now he's got the wrist. He's a little bit banged up. But if the Bucks would overcome the Celtics as the one, maybe he would be the guy that could overtake Joker. I can't see. Embiid's going to have to finish by averaging like 40 points a game.
Now, they do have the most difficult schedule. So that's what he has going for him.
The Nuggets do.
No. Or Philly.
For
Embiid.
But
that's, I don't think that's going to work against
him. Philly's going to end up in the East, though.
No, true. I think it's going to work against him. I know. But that's your case, though, if they can close strong, and he's doing it against the toughest schedule remaining.
Here's what I don't understand. When you look at all the numbers that were tallied, all the votes, so Antetokounmpo, again, is number two overall. When you look at total votes, it's first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. There were 100 people to vote. You're telling me that three people did not have Giannis in the top five?
Oh, boy.
He received 97 total votes. Three people left him off the top five? What the hell's wrong with you? Who'd you have ahead of him?
Yeah.
So you had Morant, Shea, Mitchell, Curry, or Durant ahead of Giannis Antetokounmpo? That's a travesty. So I want a further examination to find out who left him off the top five. Go away, please. Because he could still maybe steal this award. Although I think as long as Nikola Jokic doesn't get hurt, $3 at this point is a little short, in my opinion.
Yes.
And in fact, you are right, though.
That is a good point. Why three? Because Freak is hurt, and they've been winning games without him when he's been banged up. But the losses are coming for Philadelphia, and Denver's going to get the one seed, which I know, what were they, the six last year? But Porter and Murray were hurt.
That's right.
He's a JV team around them.
That's right.
Now, this is interesting now. They also got into this. I love the Brian Windhorst podcast, Hoop Collective. I love Tim McMahon and Tim Bontemps. Mm-hmm. Be a lot of pressure on him, though, too.
In the playoffs.
Yes. Now, imagine he's going to get it again, and maybe it's unfair, but it's a legacy year for him as well. Now, he's made one conference finals, and it was in the bubble. And last year, he carried his team, and they put up a fight and lost in six or whatever, five or six to Golden State. But if you go out, if you can't make the conference finals as a one seed, I mean, they got to produce. And he's put up good numbers, but it also comes down to the supporting cast as well. It's going to be a lot of I told you so and what are we doing here. And Denver has to show well and show up playoff time.
Yeah.
And make the conference finals. That is fair.
That will – is it? Because what if they lose early on, but he averages a triple-double and he's awesome, and he doesn't get the help from the supporting cast? Not his fault.
Well, they could – maybe – what does he do defensively, though, too? I mean, what's the matchup? Do they lose to the Lakers? Does AD – go off as AD contained him. I mean,
that will hurt.
What
him
does it
sure
look like? I know, but who do you lose to? Sure,
there is like that scenario is possible in my head, where the Lakers could eventually like get the eight. They play Denver, who they've been just a machine at home.
Yeah,
and Davis is just phenomenal, and it doesn't look good for the Joker at that point. And the Lakers win the series, then of course the guy's going to get lambasted. But I'm with what Pelinka did at the deadline to put this team together. I was deathly afraid of the Lakers, because I have them at 47-1 to win the Western Conference. I'm like, even if they get the eight, they're not going to go to Denver and win, because he was doing nothing. And I'm like, Westbrook's going to be one of the focal points of the team. I can't do this. But now that they jettisoned him and brought in some of the guys they did, I'm not afraid of the Lakers playing anybody as long as they stay healthy and can get in.
And you don't know what this is going to look like. Should be dangerous with Phoenix, but you're not going to have much time together. You're going to have 15 games together, 20 games together with Durant, and then the playoffs start. So you worry about chemistry. Maybe just roll the ball out there and it's no problem. The other one is, how about the most improved? To me, that's got to be Markkanen.
It's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, SGA is awesome, but he was a good player.
Yeah.
And I know he's taken this jump, but Markkanen?
No, when you...
I've been traded.
When you break down all of, like, again, the advanced numbers on this...
He had 40 the other night.
The jump that he has made has actually been significantly bigger than the jump that...
I agree.
...Shea has made. And Alexander has been lights out this year. It sounds like we're discrediting him. We're not. It's just Markkanen was a lower-level player last year. And by the way, it's not even close. Like, Shea was up here, Markkanen was all the way down here, and now Markkanen's playing at this elite level this season.
Yeah.
But here's what you have to watch moving forward. I did this last night, betting against these teams straight up. No, I was a loser because I had, like a dummy, I had Jake Paul on a parlay with the Blazers, and Jake Paul went out there and got beat.
Yeah.
Closing line value, I had 30 cents of it. Doesn't make a difference.
There were so many people that Fury has no chance, and this is
Yeah. But when the Rockets and the Spurs are playing on the same night,
God,
you got to be betting against them on parlays, on money lines, because the Spurs have lost 16 straight. The Rockets have now lost 9 straight. And we had this tweet earlier where one of their better players, like he's sitting for...
They're pulling him in the third quarter.
Unknown reason. And he's not coming back in the game.
Well, I mean, Tank a palooza.
It's happening all... I mean, it's been happening now for a while, but...
And it's a once-in-a-generation player. I mean, because this kid measured 7'5".
7'5"
so
now.
And he's got range. I don't like a Sean Bradley. I mean, the kid can score.
Pop will coach until he's 95 if they can land him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's smiling with every loss, and it's been 16 straight, so he's had a perma-grin on his face for a month.
Yeah.
They have no business. They don't want to win games at all. So that's, like, for example, Houston plays at Utah. I think it's on Wednesday night. That's going to have to be on some sort of a parlay. Utah's right in the mix to make the playoffs again.
Well, I
know.
They're better off not doing that, too. OKC as well. OKC looking for reasons to miss. That's another thing to follow, right?
Yep.
Look at these crazy, it's close. All right, take this guy out. Look at the mat. Look at what they're doing with the lineups.
In-pocket plays are up next, and everybody loves a wild gambling story. How about a lawyer who went on a six-month gambling binge here in Las Vegas and is being accused of blowing more than $10 million of her company's money? There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callsheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callsheet.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.